Today's daf in Masechet Chulin is daf Samach Beit, and we're holding in the middle of the sugya of the Simanei Ha'Of. So if you recall, what we've done so far is we've determined that we have an example of an Of that is Tohar in the Torah. Of course, it's in the context of Korbanot, but obviously it's an Of Tohar, namely the Yonah. And we have another Of, which is one of the 24 Ofot, which has all of the opposite signs of the Yonah. So what we've come, therefore, to use, this is how Rashi understands the sugya, and this is the way we learned it, that actually the extremes that were represented by the Nesher on the one hand, which is the first of the 24 Ofot HaTmeim, and the one example that we have in the Torah of the Kosher Of, which is the Torah and the Ben Yonah, the Chachonim were able to be aimed on four essential characteristics that differ between them. And that is that the Yonah is a Doreis, and it was a Machloket Rashi and Tosfot, exactly what's meant by Doreis, whether it grabs living food or whether it holds food down while it pecks at it, as Rashi says. And it has, the difference also is that the kosher bird, the Kurkavan, is Koluv, able to be Niklaf, you could peel the gizzard, and the kosher bird has an additional finger. Now, exactly what we mean by that, most learn that it means that you have the additional one toe that sticks out to the back. There are others who learn that one of the two toes in the front, even where the claw is chaluk, has a larger etzba in front, or a three-clawed has an etzba, middle etzba is longer. But in any event, what is in the Nesher and the Torah does not have either of those. And also the kosher bird has a crop. So that between those simonim, the etzba yeterah, the zefer, which is the crop, the ein kurkavon niklaf, as opposed to the ein kurkavon niklaf of the Nesher, and the eino doreis v'ochel, those were the four simonim that we identified. Now, we also came out with an understanding that of the 24 birds that are tamei, one bird, namely the Nesher, has no simonei tahara whatsoever. Two birds, namely the Peres v'Ozniya, have one simon of tahara apiece, but not the same one in both. The 23 birds have not all four of those the Orev has two of the Simanim, and the remaining birds, so that we have the 19 birds and that we want to talk about with the remaining Simanim, those birds have three out of the four of the Simanim, and they are distributed across those 24 birds, and so we couldn't learn out anything from them because they would all be shnei ketuvim abayim keechad, which proves that three simanim essentially are not a problem unless you're one of those birds. And that if once you know those birds, so then you wouldn't have a problem if you got these simanim. And therefore, what it boiled down to is that if a bird has two simanim, so then you'd be allowed to eat it, on condition that you're aware of the orev, and not only the orev, but all of the subspecies of orev. If it has one simon, you'd be able to eat it, as long as you're aware of what is a peres and what is an ozniya. And if it has three simanim, then you could eat it as long as it's not one of the remaining birds that are tummy. And the truth is that today we're going to see that we are going to have a little bit of a problem with proving a simen that is a negative, which is that ain't no dores. Because, how do you prove that something is not dores? And that's exactly a problem that comes up today later on in the daf. So let us start once again from the end of the sugya, which is the closing line on Samach Alav Amud Beit, Amar Rav Nachman. So this is the way for us to summarize. Says Rav Nachman, therefore, Hayaba ki bahem ubishmotehem. If you can identify these birds, and you also classify them, because that way, as Tosis explains, much less of a chance that you're going to make a mistake if you have a mind that is able to taxonomize the particular birds. You're not just saying this looks like that, but you actually know how to classify differently the different birds. Then, if you find a bird that you do not know from before, and it has one simen of tara, then it would be tohor, because that's enough, as we already proved. You really only need one siman, and that we prove from the fact that the way we went through it was that what would be the point of saying the nesha that has none if you wouldn't be kosher even with one. So the truth is, it would be kosher, because what's your problem? Perzvo is niyah? Well, you know what a person who knows niyah is, and this isn't one of them, so therefore it would be kosher. But if lo yapaki b'mushbotehem, so then you're always going to have to worry with siman echad. But b'shnei simanim, you don't have to worry. That would be tahar. But of course, that's only if you know what an orev looks like. The reason that we say it that way, I mean, it's a little weird, because we already said lo hayabaki b'hanim b'shvotehim b'siman echad tamei b'shnei simanim. We should just say you'd have to be marked, right? But the reason we say it this way is because the perzvos now are rare birds for a general guy who's living in a city to know the perzvos now. An orev, of course, is extremely common. And so whether it's crow, cuckoo, or all of those types of birds that are associated with crows, that's something that it's very likely that you do know. So because of that, we split it up in this funny way. So we say, well, if it's got two simen, it's okay. I mean, of course, you know what an orev is, right? So v'hushiyakir orev. Ask the Gemara, but would really that be sufficient, orev? And what about all of the other subspecies of orev, the tulo, vatanya, orev, that's the orev that everybody calls the orev. But then the Torah adds, we just read this today, limino. And limino adds all types of the subspecies of orev. And although the Gemara, Tosfos explains, although the Gemara only lists one over here, but again, remember this is Tosfos Shita, that these birds are models. They're not the name only of a particular. So that you have the orev, and you really mean limino asers all birds that are similar to the orev that we could include in the general class of orev. The one example that we bring, the two examples could end up being, which is a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan, we bring in order to concentrate on that issue, but there may be many other things. Rabbi Eliezer Amer Lahaviat HaZarzir, because the Zarzir, we'll see later on, is always found together with the orev. And Rabbi Eliezer held that the Zarzir, meaning as it shares the simanim of the orev, is also like an orev. Amrulo the Rabbi Eliezer, well, just because it has the same simanim tara doesn't mean anything. Alo anchi kvar tamrata shebiyuda yochlimotan. It does have a zefek, and they relied on that, and they knew that it wasn't the perzvos. And yeah, this, of course, gets into the whole question again that we're assuming over here, that, and what? Is it dores or not? Because, I mean, that again, as we mentioned earlier, is a machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, whether there's really three simanim, those three simanim, being the simen that it's not dores, and or whether eno dores is an assumption that it won't be dores. Because remember, if it is dores, we said kol of dores is tameh. And that was where Tosfos went in the Mishnah, although it was printed on the wrong page. But Tosfos on the Mishnah explained the, somehow or other, we seem to know that with a mezor of some kind, perhaps from Noah, but just known that if it is dores, then it would be an oath that would be tameh. Okay, this is already a little bit more complex than we're going to be doing on the level of the Daf Yomi. And in any event, they used to eat it. So he said to them, well, just because they ate it, they're going to pay for that, they'll burn in hell. They told them that they could eat it. Davar acher, another explanation we have, lemino, it should say, is lahavid snunit levana. Snunit levana, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is not the same simanim, but it looks like the orev, and And the only thing is that because it has this white-colored belly, so the people that argue, the Chachamim, who are going to argue immediately in Anshei Galil, but clearly the Chachamim argue in Rebbe Eliezer, that itself is enough to distinguish it from the Orev, even though it has characteristics of the Orev. And Amru lo, halo Anshei Galil, yono chlimoto, b'plei shekur kavono niklaf, it does have that simen of kur kavono niklaf, Amar lahem afem atidim litenat adin. They are going to pay for that because they shouldn't have been relying on that to eat it. Okay, but in any event, I mean, obviously there are additional things that are included with the old verbal yezer. You don't know the verbal yezer. I mean, that's just two examples, but Lemino clearly is adding something. So it's whatever it's adding. How can you say that if you're a bucky in the Orev, that you can eat a babish de simonim? Maybe it's the Lemino of the Orev. Okay, you're right. You're right. When I said Orev, I meant Orev, v'chol min Orev. Omra ha-meimar. Look, halacha l'maisa, hilchata of haba b'siman echad tohar. If you've only got one siman, you also have no problem. As long as hu delo doris, as long as it's not doris. If it's doris, that's a positive siman that it is a tray for bird. How can you rely on one simen? What do you do with Reb Nachman? Because Reb Nachman said, if you don't know the peres vaznia, then you have to be chayish, that the bird that you're eating is a peres vaznia. And Reb Nachman said, and only then, but feirish lo haya baki ben of haba b'simen echad tamei. So how in the world could you have said that an ofa b'simen echad tahor without demanding that you also be a bucky in that whole mean? What are you going to do with that? Omar lei lo shmili, I don't hear that. Meaning, I don't hear that, I don't believe that, not that I never heard about it. Klomar lo shmili, because what's your problem? My ika. Mishum peres vaznia. Let nu be yishuv. Those birds are not found among places that humans live. They're wild birds that live out in jungles. And if you come across a bird in the middle of civilization that you don't know that it's a siman echad, you vadai do not have to worry about the question of its being a peres vaznia. Now, we've got some problems over here, because if you're saying hane mile de lo doris, is that we know it's not doris, then it has two siman. But if it has two simanim, so then maybe it's an orev. I mean, that you weren't arguing about. An orev is definitely found be yishuv, right? So if it means that, as Tosus understands it, then it's not a problem of being an orev, because we know that the orev is doreis, and that's not its simen. So if the orev is doreis, so then this clearly is not an orev, and it only has two simanim. So that it then wouldn't be a peres vaznia either. In other words, if we're saying we know for a fact it isn't a peres vaznia. Right. So Tosfos understands hu de lo doris, obviously. If Tosfos has to understand that we know it's not doris, then hu de lo doris would have to mean that is the simen that we're talking about. The simen echad is that hu de lo doris. Because if you're saying hu de lo doris simen echad, then it's shnei simon. So then we should be talking about an orev. Rashi's approach to the whole sugi is animita de lo doris, that we're assuming that it's, in other words, nobody ever saw it being doris. We don't have much experience with it. I see it eating, it's not being doris. I see it as a simen echad. So why should I be chayish that it's doris? Because that's how we understood all along. You have this siman. Okay, if the maisa bird ends up being doris, as we'll see later on, so then that means you can't rely on your siman. Because we know that it's doris is definitely tummy. It's all very nice, but since we don't know, and we have a siman of tyra, and we can assume it's not a peres vaznia, because it's eno b'yishuv, mamela, I don't have to worry about it. And I can assume that it's a kosher bird. If it turns out that it is doris, then it's no longer a bird with siman echad. Anyway, so certainly I'm not allowed to eat it, because the bird that is doris is not kosher. Fine. But that's how Rashi understands. That's a simple way to read the Gemara. Omer Rav Yehuda, of ha-misaret kasher l'taharat mitzora. Once we're talking about already the Shnit Levana, Rav Yehuda points out that the Snunit Levonah is a bird that fights for its freedom. So people can keep a Snunit Levonah in their home, but they'll never be able to capture it because it fights you, claws at you, misareit, it scratches you. And therefore, it is called the tzipor drawer of the Mitzorah. The tzipor drawer means it insists on keeping its freedom, so that even if it's dari, even if it lives with people, it retains its freedom. And it does this by scratching its way to freedom. It's just too hard to capture it. And that is the Snunit Levana. The Machlokes Rishonim, whether he means this is the only bird that the Torah is referring to, or that this bird is clearly included in the tzipor drawer. But in any event, certainly the Snunit Levanah. That's the Snunit Levanah that Rabbi Eliezer Chachamim were arguing on, and obviously, here, Rav Yehuda is paskening like the Chachamim, because the bird that is used for the Mitzorah is a kosher bird. Yeah, the Tzipor Dror. So then he must pasken. The Snunit Levanah is Anshe like the Anshe Galil. Anshe Galil Ochlimoto. That's because it's the same bird you can use for Tarat Mitzorah. Oh, that the Gemara learns that from the Pesukim by the Mitzera. Yeah, that's not from our sugya. It's not a chilek for our sugya. Omer Ameima, b'chivra karsa, kolem lo pligi d'shay. Look, if it really has a white belly, so that everybody, that was never a machlokes. Everybody agreed that that's a kosher bird. And so he obviously is disagreeing right now with what we just said. Ki plige, the only machlokes between Rebbe Eliezer and Chachamim were not the real Snunit Levanah. It was the Snunit that has a yellowish belly. A Yeruka Karsa. There Rebbe Eliezer says it's usher. The Rabbanan say it's mutter. There we possibly have Rebbe Eliezer Grata. That's talking. You misrepresented it over here by saying it was Snunit Levanah. That's the Snunit Levanah literally was not really a machloket. It was the Snunit with the yellow belly. And we paskin indeed the Lechumra. Not that it's kosher. That's one approach. Marzutra says this over in the exact opposite way. He says like this. No. He was agreeing with Rebbe Yehuda. What he said was like this. If it was yellow bellied, everybody agrees that it's usher. Ki plige b'dechivra kar, so they were only arguing it was white-bellied, and then Rebbe Eliezer says it's usher, and the Rabbana says it's mutter, and the halacha is like the Rabbana, that it's mutter, in which case he was agreeing with what Rebbe Yehuda said, that the Snunit Levanah is the tzipor drawer, and therefore it's kosher bird. He blights Pascha like the Anshe Galil. Wait a minute. I don't get it. If we're correct in saying that they were arguing about the Snunit Levanah, and it was a reference to a white-bellied Snunit. Okay, then I understand why we're talking this whole time about a Snunit Levanah. But how do you say, we're talking about the yellow-bellied Snunit, and that's the white-bellied Snunit. What is that supposed to mean? Laman yamar b'diruka plige, how can you say, and that is the Snunit Levanah? Does that make sense? Well, yes, it does, because the varieties, the contrasting varieties of the Snunit is the black-bellied Snunit. And the other hand, there's a range of white to ivory, yellow. What he means is the Snunit Levanah, meaning not the black one. The black one for sure is not kosher. So those are black. Those are the ones that live up on top of the rafters and house. These are generally translated as swallows. Omar Rechava, Omar Rabbi Yehuda. This is a little bit of a problem because Rechava is a Talmud of Rav Yehuda, not Rabbi Yehuda. And Tosa says that he calls him Rabbi Yehuda here because it's his personal Rebbe. So he was saying my Rebbe Yehuda, not Rabbi Yehuda. Although it's possible that since Rechava Mipumpadisa is always called the one that is very medayik to say Shmaitz Mipumidemore, so it's medayik, so it could be that he was misupik, whether this had been given over yet from the time of the Tana, Rebbe Yehuda. So just to keep us guessing, he said over Rabbi Yehuda, which could mean either his Rebbe or could mean the Tana, and that way at least he wouldn't be saying something wrong. Okay, anyway, but what he said was, and this is once already we're talking about, the different dinim of birds that were given over by Rebbe Yehuda, So we bring over other issues as well, according to Rashi, we're going to start talking about Chagavim, that Rabbi Yehuda was referring to, because we're talking about his approaches. So here, Rechava quotes Rabbi Yehuda as saying that the tassil, which is a type of pigeon, it's pasul mishum torim, but it's kosher mishum b'nei ona. Now remember that the tor is only kosher as an adult, and the b'nei ona is only kosher as a prepubescent bird. So therefore, we need to identify. We know it's a type of pigeon, but which type? Does it come under tor, or does it come under yonah? If it comes under yonah, then you have to use the young one. If it comes under tor, you have to use the mature one. So therefore, it comes on Rabbi to say that tassel, although it's a type of pigeon, it's not kosher as a pigeon. It's only kosher when it's young, because it's really a type of ben yonah. Now the datsipi and the torin shorachava, which are different names of torin, those are dafka the other way around. Those are types of torin. They're kosher only in the mature form, and they're pasul as b'nei yonah, so you cannot bring them if they're immature. What if the neobarav katim? From the comparison of ofot benogea, the sugya we've had many times before, benogea mechatat. You remember we have a machloket. If an animal drinks for the mechatat, why it would pasul the mechatat? Either because an aveda was done with them, and then if you use it for any other aveda, so that if it's called an aveda of drinking, and some of the water gets back in to the, because the bird is lapping it up or sucking it up, and then it goes back in. Or others learn because it's mixed, and it's no longer, it has to be complete mechatas, that's mixed with other water. But whatever it is, normally, kola ofot, indeed, paso mechat. The only one that doesn't pass the mechatas is the yonah. The yonah has a unique way of drinking. The way that it drinks is that it creates a suction from the esophagus so that the esophagus contracts and draws in. But since it's in its esophageal contraction, it pulls the whole thing into the esophagus. In other words, when you suck, you're basically using your windpipe. So you can't swallow while you're sucking. Because as you suck, your windpipe shuts. Mm-hmm. And your esophagus shuts. So therefore, you always have to stop sucking and then swallow. So if you do that, then some of the water leaks back from the straw. But this bird sucks with its esophagus. So because of that, whatever it sucks goes straight in. So there's no return. And because of that, it doesn't possible. You don't call it a swallow for nothing. But that's not the yonah. So that's the...
It's on the
420. Yeah, right. So this is the motzetzet. Now, if, says Rav Daniel Parpatina, if you are right that all of these birds, the tatsipi and the... I mean, the tassil is what he asked it on, that this is a type of yonah, so then why doesn't it say the yonah and the tassil? I mean, people don't call that a yonah. I mean, when you're telling over halacha, you know, you're going to have to tell me in practical terms which birds will not pass the mechata. Say the tassil. So litni chutz miyonah v'tassil. Omer Rabbi Zera, just because it's a type of yonah does not mean that it shares all of the characteristics of the yonah. Ze motzeitzu meki, v'ze motzeitzu eino meki. Look, I mean, that particular thing is a slightly different behavior between the yonah and this subspecies of yonah, so that maybe the contractions are not fully formed, or maybe, you know, whatever it is. But lamaise, some of the water gets back in. Mm-hmm. Take a look in your picture, right here. Omer Rav Yehuda, another mimer of Rav Yehuda that we're bringing. Once again, we're on his list of so far birds that are kosher. Ani kufshani. Kufshani is simply the word torim in Aramaic. So it's if it says torim that are tzutzaini, they come from tzutzainia, are kosher. And you can, they're kosher for the mizbeach. In other words, they are real torim. And that, by the way, is what he was referring to with torim shel rechava that we mentioned on Omer Aleph. That Rav Yehuda had mentioned before, that Torim shel Rechava are Ksherim Mishum Torim. Well, you should know that they're Ksherim. This is what they're called, Tzutzaini. They're kosher on the Mizbeach. And this is the problem that we've had many, many times. Finally get to the Gemara that discusses the issue of subspecies division in a halacha in the Torah. So the classic case is we bring a raya from the fact that when the Torah tells us, V'lakach ha-kohen eitz erez ve'ezod, what is an ezod? And there we are taught that when it comes to the din of Negoim, it comes to the din of Parah, the din of Ezov, it has to be an Ezov and not an Ezov Yavan. Some have, by the way, in the Mishnah, it's one word, Ezov Yavan or Ezov Yon. There's different ways of pronouncing. Some say the Rambam, it's Ezov Yavan, that literally comes from Yavan. Velo Ezov Kuchli, not the bluish Ezov. Velo Ezov Romi, and not the Ezov Midbari. For that matter, any Ezov that has an additional name to it to identify a subspecies is not the Ezov the Torah is referring to. Velo Ezov Shesh Hashem Levi. So tell me why a Tor, when the Torah says, Torin Uvnei Yonah, Mina Torin Uvnei Vnei Yonah, why is that any different than saying Minha Ezov? What you're telling me, when the Torah says Ezov, it means the Ezov without any additional identifier. And when it says a Torah, no, that's okay. It could be Shel Rechava. What's the difference? Either we mean the standard, or we mean the entire species. How could we say in one case Torah means this, and another case Torah means that? Be consistent. And here we get to Abaya's famous answer. Amar Abaya, Kol shenishtane shmo kodem matan Torah, v'kpida Torah alav, yesh lo shem levai pasul. The rule is that the species are defined by the situation at the time of Matan Torah. If the species had been differentiated by humans before the Torah was given, and the Torah gives a name, then it's talking to the state of human development of that time. And therefore, it means the species, the standard, as opposed to anything that you'd have to identify as a subspecies. And there, the Shem Levi will passel. And therefore, Ezov, which was well-developed by the time to know the difference between the Ezov Yovan and the Ezov Kuchli, the Ezov Romi, and so on and so forth, those things are passel. But the Torin of Rechava, Lo nishtanu shemam kodem matan Torah. There was no such thing, and therefore the Torah obviously wasn't being mapped on it. And because of that, I'm saying that you can bring it as a Torah on the Mizbeach. That's what Rav Yehuda was saying.
There was a Torah before matan Torah?
It was called just Torah at that time.
Torah included it.
Exactly. The fact that now you distinguish it as being a subspecies of Torah, fine. Go right ahead. But already that's the Torah the Torah is referring to.
Something they developed after.
It didn't develop. Humans developed a taxonomy after. That's overdeveloped. The Torah is speaking to a primitive state. And that is the state that it addresses. The fact that you discover new things on itself is irrelevant. Because we're not talking about that level of sophistication. So for all intents and purposes, it doesn't. As far as the Torah is concerned, it doesn't exist. I wasn't talking about that. You don't know that. And therefore, it's irrelevant. It's included in our very simple terminology. Obviously, we try to do things, you know, we always try to do things with greater and greater sophistication. But we don't need to. I mean, if Chazal, you know, if we would see the kind of tefillin that Chazal wore, we'd throw him into the Sheamus, you know. They didn't have the potential of making the type of absolute perfection in it. You know, things that put thousands of pounds per square inch, electric visors and so on and so on. They didn't have those things. But that's not what you need. You don't need that level of diuk. Rova oba hani kufshani tzutzaini. The point is not that it hadn't been changed at time of Torah. It was. But the thing is that the tzutziani that we spoke about before, the Rav Yehuda says, kosher lagavi mizbeach, that's because where they are in tzutzainia, they're just called torin. So the point is, look, if you're talking about the Ezov, the Ezov in Rome is not called Ezov. It's the Ezov Romi is called Ezov Romi in Rome.
Ah.
So it's a type of Ezov. Even they reckon it's not the standard Ezov. This is the Ezov Romi. If you want it, exactly, Jerusalem artichoke.
And an artichoke.
Okay. But there, it's minor differences. Other people, when they look at that, they, oh, wow, that must be from Tsutsaina. So they get Ki'ilo, it's a subspecies. But it's not a strong enough identifier to be able to call it really a subspecies of Auraya. They just refer to it as a regular tor in that area where it's common. And therefore, that's called a tor. Omrav Yehuda. Hani karze deve chilpi shori, vedeve karve asire. Now here's about Chlokas Rashi and Tosas. Rashi learns karve, what he's referring to over here, karze. Karze mean chagavim. And all of a sudden we switch gears and we started to talking about chagavim tbeim for no reason other than the fact that there's another mimer of Rav Yehuda about kosher species. So the mele we threw it in over here. Tosfos says this is very suspicious. I mean, all along we're talking about ofot, and all of a sudden we've changed to something else. And then why does the Gemara continue Amar Avina umalkina alayo mishum sheretz ha'of? I mean, obviously if it's a chagav, it's a sheretz ha'of. It's a sheretz. Therefore, tainus Tosfos, that the point over here is that these are tiny birds and they are similar to a sheretz. They're absolutely, that's
like large insects?
No, they really are birds. We would call
tiny birds
them birds, but they are the size of insects. And there's even smaller than hummingbirds. So the Chiddush, that according to Tosu, the Chiddush is, even if they have Simone Tahira, they're not birds. That's what the Gemara is saying. They are insects. Because remember, the Torah's distinction is not a biological distinction. It's a gross distinction. Something that lives in the water is a fish. Doesn't matter whether it breathes through its lungs or breathes water. That's what the Torah calls a dog, which is, I mean, obviously it's a completely different classification than the word fish in English. So it's not true to say that a dog is a fish. A dog does not translate into the English fish. It's a different thing. A dog means a water-swimming organism. Right, okay. A sheretz ha'maya means a small, very small, creepy, crawly type of animal that lives in the water. A sheretz ha'ov means a small flying organism. I don't care whether it's a kind of bird or a reptile or an insect. There are no such words in the Torah. So it's a completely different taxonomy, again. And therefore, there is no way to translate it because there's no term for that in English. So therefore, Tosfos learns the Chiddush over here. Is that, I mean, otherwise, why do we need to say that you get Malkus because of Sheretz Ha'ov? I mean, what else would you get Malkus for? See, those who learn like Rashi learn that what it means is, and don't think that when I tell you it's Osir, I mean Mitzad HaSofek. No! You'll actually get Malkus on it because of Sheretz Ha'ov. That the Chiddush is Malkin, not that you'd be Chayev. Definitely, but the question is whether it's all sheretz ha'ov. That's not the issue. It's a very different way of learning the sugya. But anyway, let's learn what he says. We haven't even translated what he says. Yes, of course. Exactly. It's a complete, that's what I say, it's a different text. It is an oath. Sheretz ha'ov. Yeah. It's a different way of thinking. That's language, yeah. So, therefore, according to Rashi, Hani Karze, a Karze, according to Rashi, is a Chagav, and according to Tosfos, is a small flying thing. So, a Karze de Vechilpe is Shoru, but a Karze de Bekarve is Asiri. So, if one of these things, the Chagav, lives between the reeds, so it's sort of like a swamp kind of thing, or lives near water. Those are kosher. Those are kosher chagavim, or those are large enough to be birds. But the ones that fly around the cabbages, those are osir, because they're not kosher chagavim, or because they're so small, they're considered to be shratzabilitosis. According to Tosfos, the Chiddush is that they're called a sheretz ha'ov. According to Rashi, the Chiddush is you get Malkus, and then it's a Vadai, and not a Sufik identification. Getting back now to birds, and here we're interested in confusing names. So these are names that a lot of people know. Now, there's three names that sound very similar. Don't get confused. There's the Tsarda, the Barda, and the Marda. So you got to remember what's what. The Tsarda, that's Mutter. The Barda, that's Usser. And the way to remember that is Barnea. No, I'm sorry. Barmine Dehu. Get out of here and leave me alone. I Chinese kid with bunny baptism. So bar mine. Now we remember the bar. The bar da means get out. Okay, now what about the marda? Oh, the marda, that's a suffix. We are not sure whether the marda is kosher. We're going to get to what exactly that's all about. Om Ravasi.
Are these birds?
Yeah, these are birds. Now, Ravasi points out that the truth is there are eight birds, which we're going to explain what the problem is with them, that we have not been able to positively identify in terms of kashrus. They remain sfeikas, and these are the eight birds. The chuba, the chuga, the suga, the harnuga, the tushalmi, the marda, kuchilna, and barnafa. Now, what is the suffix? It's very simple. The ofot torin, the simen is kurkavanu niklaf, right? The tmeim is not kurkavanu niklaf. Now, by the way, the Rabbeinu Tam over here, Rabbeinu Chananel brings here that there was a Kabbalah that he had that the simen, the reason we're talking about kurkavanu niklaf is that that was the only simen when we said ofa baba simen ala. That the only one we rely on to really not have to be chayish about teresa is kurkavanu niklaf. Okay, it also has to do with the questions of whether there's no way to identify that with the two that we know exist, the Perzvaz Niyat. It's clear that if we go back and try to work out what these simonim are, we now have a lot of information. What are the three simonim, the four simonim? In other words, because we know that Drisa is a problem that does exist with the Orev. The Orev is Dores. And we also now have information about the snunit that was supposed to be on the zarzir. The zarzir says yeshlam zefek. The snunit, it says over here, they were eating it in the galil b'nishukul kavanu nikla, which creates a tremendous problem because if they're similar to the orev and the orev has now these two simonim as well, then it says there our understanding of the two simon of the Orev that we have on the previous staff. There's a lot of, because of that we have to be highlighted, that maybe it's two other simonim. You know, maybe there were two parts to Rebbe Eliezer, one of which has same simonim, and one of which is different simonim, but it looks the same. And then the question is whether the belly is different and so on. But if you work the sugya, you begin to see that, wait a second, how can that bird have this and also not be Dores? And that leads to a lot of discussions about figuring out what happened with the three simonim that were chaser between the 19 birds that were the 19 simonim of Ben Ke'echad. But in any event, we're going to try to keep it simple. And just, I'm making note of the fact that Rabbeinu Chananel says that Ofa Baba Simen Echad is a Kabbalah Biadenu Miavotenu. It's this Simen, Kurkavano or Kavano Niklaf. That's what the Gemara is concentrating on this. So we had this Simen of Kurkavano Niklaf. Okay, we've got these eight birds, though, which are the Chuba, the Chuga, the Suga, the Arnuga, and so on. Those birds are sort of Kurkavano Niklaf. Because Hani Kurkavano Niklaf Pisakino, you can separate it, but not with your hand. You need a sharp knife to be able to cut it open. So it has two skins, and it's separable, but it's not the Kurkavano Niklaf of the Torah. The Torah has a soft, removable outer casing, which this doesn't have. Now, we're not sure whether that is what we're referring to when we say Kurkavano Niklaf. Now, wait a minute. What about the famous case of the duck by Mar Shmuel? I mean, where he wasn't sure if that was a kosher duck. And over there, he couldn't peel the kurkavan. And he let it sit in the sun for a little while. And then he pulled it, keep it rough. Once it got a little bit swollen, he pulled it apart. Fine, but over there, when it got soft, he pulled it apart with his hand. So over there, ki rafi iklif biyada, but over here, even if you soften it, you cannot pull it apart with your hands. The whole thing just tears into pieces. You need to use a sakin. That's our question. If you need to, it's obviously not the same as the kurkavan of the Torah. Now, how much do we mean? And then we're going to be medayik in precisely the difference between the eagle and the Torah. This tends a little bit to the eagle, and it's somewhat like the Torah. What is it? That's our suffix. Omar Abaye, the Tarnagola de Agma, is one of the eight Sveikot. So this is the moorhen, you know. And it's one of the eight Sveikot. And that's the mardu. The mardu is the moorcock. Sorry, the tarnagol is the moorcock. Omrefapa, well, what's interesting is that the moorcock is usher, but the moorhen is mutter. Now, obviously, these are not the male and female of the same species. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's just that one of them looks femaleish, one of them looks maleish, so they just call it the moorhen and the moorcock. But obviously, they both have males and females, and both of them have the same. But for the purposes of memory, the simon is amonit velo amonit. So you always remember that the iser is on the male. So for the, it's the cock that's also. Dorash marima. Tarnagulta de agma asira. The truth is that we paskin that this tarnagulta de agma in the end turned out to be us, even though we used to think it was kosher. Because one day somebody saw that it was Doris and Ochel. This, of course, is the same story that happened with the Shalah and the turkey. This is the big problem with the turkey.
Oh, that's why?
Yeah, we're going to get to this in a minute. So, and because Chazua the Doris of Ochel, somebody saw that it was Doris. And as we pointed out, I mean, the black swan syndrome is, you know, you might believe it's that way, but the moment you see it isn't. So maybe for hundreds of years, people believe that swans are white. But the first time a black one came along, you knew that swans are not always white. So the same thing is true over here. We never saw it was Doris, but this one was Doris. And that is the Geruta, it's called, which of course is Amoni Velo Amonitish. So you can see why we don't want to say Moav Yivul.
Yes.
Okay. So the question now is our Rashi. Rashi says, based on this Gemara, it appears to me that an oath that we find that we don't know anything about, how would we ever know that it is in Doris? I mean, here for years, apparently, they believed that this oath was not a Doris, and then suddenly it was Doris. Which means that in practical terms, you would need more data than you're ever going to be able to get. And the only way, therefore, you can eat it is if you have a mesoret, so that over generations, people have been observing this bird, or even better, they know that this bird has been eaten since the time of Mar Sinai, and it's been given over from generations that this bird, we just eat it. And that's the only thing you can be samech on. And that's why we'll see tomorrow that an oaf is eaten b'mesoret. But the truth is, there's another way of learning that. Oaf is eaten by Mesoret without needing to check. But that doesn't mean that if you do check, you also need the Mesoret. So this is how Rashi wants to conclude based on this. And this obviously created very serious issues when it came to the turkey. Because the turkey was a bird that nobody had known until the New World was discovered. And all of a sudden, you have an oaf that's Bolifaneinu. Doesn't matter what it's Bolifanecha with, if you don't know whether it's Doris. Because according to Rashi, it may be Doris, even if it would have the other simonim, then we would know, as whatever this Kabbalah was, that an ofa Doris, kol ofa Doris, tamei. So a tremendous amount of this. We'll speak about this when we get to the sugya of Nechal b'misoret. But, of course, this leads to all of the questions today, very, very common questions, I mean, because there are different groups that eat different things, like the Temanim have the misera on which chagamim they eat, and different Sfardim eat different kinds of birds in their communities. They ate these birds, which were not prevalent in Europe, and they don't know about these birds. The question is, can you eat these birds? There's a fantastic tshuva of the Rush, who was actually in Sfarad, and he said that he is not sumech on any of the Sephardic Mesorah. Isn't that amazing? Because he says the only ones that were medayik in a very scientific manner from the time of the giveth, from the time of the Churban, giving over the Derech HaTorah, were the Chachmei Ashkenaz and the Chachmei Tzorfat. And everybody else is very loose. So if somebody would follow, Beis Yosef brings him. I mean, obviously, Rush is a central pillar, one of the three pillars that I wrote. And, you know, so if somebody would, Chochem would say, well, we never saw the Doris, that became a Mesera, much more superstitious people. And things became Meseras that weren't really Meseras. He says, I'm only Semech on that Mesera. And I hold you don't have a right to be Semech on any other Mesera. A. Then there's also another question. The eating of a Mesorah is only where you don't have a Mesorah. But if a bird was in that area that was Bedafka not eaten, That's not called not having a Misora. That's called having a Misora to Is, to Aser. Then for sure you can't be saying if on a Misora. Even if it would be in a different place of Ashkenaz, you're an Ashkenaz, you wouldn't be able to be saying that on such a Misora. This gets into the question of the Chumras HaMakom Shiatzumi Sham, what if you move to such a place? So, but you could see where there's serious questions, which would mean that when it comes to the Teimanim, even if they have a Misra on the Min, they don't know that its name is Chagav. It has to be called Shabakibemabishmotayim. So how do you know that's called Chagav? So a lot of reasons to avoid getting involved in other people's so-called Misra.
Wow.
So, okay, but that, as I say, we'll get into that Bezrashim tomorrow. Continuing on in these various...
It's not a one-time brisa. Bird's hungry. Oh my God! I guess I'll just eat this.
A crazy one.
Yeah, no, that's it. Is possible that it's but we, and that's not what they saw. They just saw standard. You know, there was no. It wasn't particularly. Yeah.
That wouldn't be enough.
No, we said before, look, you know, you got a crazy snake. What do you know? He's a madman. What are we saying on this crazy snake? Yeah. It's hilarious.
My wife, when they were living, you know, they had a duck. And, duck ate an animal, a rock. You can't eat the bird duck. They're going to eat it, you know, eventually. It's all we'll eat, you know, you can't eat that duck.
Mm-hmm. That duck or
any duck?
That duck. That type of duck.
He was Doris.
Yeah?
Yeah, interesting.
Couldn't eat his eggs, but that was it. Can't eat his
eggs. Never come out with a duck. It was.
Well, it's not one kind of duck. This was a type of duck. That's what we're looking at. We have different types of ducks. As we're getting into all of these, you know, the Tanagoldov, they're obviously very similar types of birds.
Because there's different ducks all over the world, depending on where you live.
Sure. I mean, we've got a Canadian here who can tell you all about the duck.
Well, actually, in Canada, it's the geese. The Toronto, it's the squirrels.
We don't
know.
Where we come from, we don't
know. But that's the one thing that came to mind here. Because there are black squirrels and grays living happy. And a lot of Americans have seen that. And when my kids saw them, so we'd tell them that they were one hell of a living American. And then we went to Canada. And so I don't know where this is going, so I'll finish off like that. It's pretty funny.
Omar Rav, another very similar named bird, similar birds, is the Shivor Andarpata and the Piruz Andarpata. Now, the Shivor Andarpata is Shori, is Mutter, but the Piruz Andarpata is also, a way to remember that is just everybody remembers Piruz. Piruz is a gangster. So Piruz Rishia, everybody knows the famous guy. It's like calling the name of Al Capone. If you call a bird Al Capone, you think it's kosher?
Pirates. The
pirates of Antiparta. The pirates of Antiparta. Amravuna. Look, the bunya is kosher and the parva is also. The way to remember is parva amgusha. Remember the famous parva. He made actually the beta parva, the ishkas beta parva, the beta migdash after the shuva. But he used to be a famous magician, so everybody remembers him. This is the parva amgusha. Omer of Papa, there's also two types of mardus. So the mardu, which is zogid v'achel, and this is its name, the mardu zogid v'achel. So it's the mardu that stands up straight and eats like a mensch. That one's mutter. But the one that bends down on the ground and eats, the sagit v'achel, again, that's its name. Barmine. That's its name. So the sagit v'achel, that's aser. You know how to remember that? This thing is bowing down. That's the thing that's aser. Omar Shmuel, the Shatya Chamra is Asira, the bird that's called the wine drinker, that's Asir. And the Simen is Shituye Yain or Psulim Lavoda. Shmuel says the Mazga Chamra, that's the bird that always mixes the wine, now that is also Asir. But the Bat Mazga Chamra, which is of course a different species, but the Bat Mazga Chamra, that is actually Mutter. And the Simen for that is to remember Yafakeh Habin Mikoch Av, which we had before. Omer of Nachman, Hayabaki Behen Ubishmotehem, Ofa Babi Simanechatar. Lo Hayabaki Behen Ubishmotehem. But Orev, that's not enough to lo. Hatanya Orev, Ze Orev. Lemino means, as Tosu says, all the things that are. But I mean, particularly, we would have some machloksin about that. Rebbe Eliezer, Amalaviata Zarzir, אמרו לו, רבי אליעזר, זרזיר, עד שכבר אתם ראתם שביהודה היו אוכלים אותם, מפני שיש להם ספק. אמר להם, אף הם עתידים לטעין את הדין. דבר אחר למינו, איזלבי סנונית לבנה, דבר רבי אליעזר. אמרו לו, אבל לא עד שגליל היון אוכלים אותו, מפני שכל כוונו נקלף. אמר להם, אף הם עתידים לטעין את הדין. אלא עורב, what I meant was, as long as you're a bucky ball, עורב, meaning, of course, עורב וכל מין עורב. אומר המאמר, למייסה הלכת העוף הבא בסימן אחד, is tahor, and Rashi learns the next words, as long as we don't know that it's Doris. We can assume it is. From the Rav Asher, Amemra, what do you do with Rav Nachman? What do you do with Rav Nachman about needing to be a baki so that you're not going to be able to be to'en a peres vosnia? Other Rav Nachman, my own lele, lo shmili, klama, I don't hear that. Lo svirali. My hika, mishim peres vosnia, let no be yishuv. Om Rav Yehuda, of a misaret, kashel tarat mitzarabias, that's the tzipor drawer. That's the snunit levana. And we paskin obviously not like Rabbi Eliezer. We paskin like the Chachomi. Shenechel ba Rabbi Eliezer v'Chachomi, and it's kosher. Omra meimar, well, now wait a minute. If you're talking about the real snudit levana, I mean, where it's chiva karsa, kulei amal apliga de sharia. The machloket over here was in the Aruka karsa, where Rabbi Eliezer said it was also Rabbanan said it's mutter. And actually, in that, we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. So that, what you said in name of Rabbi Yehuda, that this is the snunit levana shenechlaku, no, it's not. And that we pass like the Rabbanan, we pass like Rabbi Eliezer. Mazutra matniach. But Yeruka karsa kuleyam al pigdi osir, kipliki b'dechivra karsa. I agree with what you just said, Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Eliezer osir, Rabbanan shaya, we pass like the Rabbanan, that it's mutter, and that's the kosher for the mitzvah. So b'shem elaman yom b'chivra karsa pligei. I mean, I guess something that's white is called white. But according to Mandi Omer that it's yellow, why is it called white? It means whitish. Which is all black. The tassil is a kosher bird for the Mizbeach. It's possible as a tor. So if it's an adult, you can't use it. It's kosher as a benyona. You can use it if it's still in a youngster. The atzipe, torin shorechava, those are also kosher, but those are kosher as adults. Bishum torin, they're possible bishum benyona. Moser Reb Daniel Barav Katina, how can you say that the tassil is a type of yona? If it says kol afot poslin mechatat, chutz benyona b'mdei shemotzetzet, ve'im itna l'tei chutz b'yona v'tassil. On Rabbi Zera, well, because who said that the tassil is motzeitz the same way the yona is? Ze motzeitz u'meki, and therefore it ruins the mechatat, either, remember the machlokas Rashi Tosfos, either because it was nasa b'malacha, or because it's mixing it with saliva. Ve'ze motzeitz ve'in u'meki. On Rabbi Zera, ani kufshani, the tzutzaini type of yona, is k'sherim l'gami mizbeach, and those are the Torin Shel Rechava that we mentioned on Amud Aleph. How can you say this? Asked the Gemara. That's a subspecies. And Metvezov, Veloizov Yavan, Veloizov Kuchli, Veloizov Romi, Veloizov Midbori, Velokolizov Shezoshem Lavai. On Rabbi, it depends. Kosh Nishtanesh Mok Onimatan Taravik Piataralav. So then if Yeshoshem Lavai Pasu. But these are things that were Lonishtanesh Mok Onimatan Taravik. Rav Amar, no, it's very simple. The Kufshani Tzutzaini are just called Torin in Tzuchenia. So Batrayu is stomach arlohu. So it's not really a different species. Om Rav Yehuda Hane Karzi Dvei Chilpe, according to Rashi Chagavim, according to Tosafot, the miniature birds, that's Mutter. Dvei Karbi in the cabbage patch, that's Usser. Omar Ravino Makinalaim Shum Sharitza Of. Vyoma Raviuda Tsarda Shari Barda Asir Vasibanecha Barmine. Marda Sveka. Omar Vasi, the Marda is really one of the eight Svekot. And the eight Svekot are the Chuba, the Chuga, the Suga, the Arnuga, the Tushlomi, the Marda, the Kuchilna, Barnafka. What's the suffix? Well, Ofotorin Kukavanan Niklav. The Tmayim ain't Kurkavana Niklav. Nahani Kurkavana Niklav Pisakina. So, why he barabs it after Be Bashpudala the Kamak of Kurkavani, Vutavana Beshimsha, the give the Rafi Iklav? Yes, but Hatabki Rafi Iklav Piyata. And I'm talking about over here. Is something which Afagav the Rafi Lamikla fellow Besakina. Om Rabbi, the Tarnagola de Agma was one of the eight Svekot. That's the Marda. The other name is the Tarnagola de Agma. Om Rav Papa, that's only the Tarnagola. The Tarnagola de Agma is Asira, but the more hen is Mutter. So the Tarnagola de Agma is Sharia. Vesimanecha Amoni velo Amonit. Dorish Marimar. Actually, the Tarnagulta Dagma is Osir because they once saw that it was Doris. Chazir the Doris of Achla. Vainu Giruta. You know, you never know. They come, they pretend to be Jewish, but who knows what happens afterward. Omarav, Shvor Andarpata Shori, Piruz Andarpata Osir, Vesimonerka Piruz Rishia, Omaravuna Bunya Shori, Parava Osir, Simonerka's Parava Ungash, Ambusha. Omer of Papa, the Mardu Zagid Vyakala Shari, the Mardu Zagid Vyakala Zasar, Vesimonecha, Lotish Tachavela Elacher. Omer Shmuel, the Shatya Chamre Zasira, Simonecha Shetuye Yayim Psulim La Avoda. Omer Shmuel, the Mazga Chamre is Osir, but the Bat Mazga Chamre, of course, a completely different species, is Sharia. Vesimonecha Yofe Koach Abain Mikoach Av. Omer of Nachman, Hayaba Kibahen Ubishmotehem, Ofa Babisimanechatar. Lo Hayaba Kibahen Ubishmotehem, Bisimanechatame, Bishne Simanim Tahor, Batush Yakir Orev. Orev, that's not enough to lo. Hotanya Orev, Ze Orev. Let me know means, as Tosra says, all the things that are. But I mean, particularly, we would have some machloks about that. Rebbe Eliezer, Roman Avieta Zarzir, Amrullah Rebbe Eliezer, Zarzir, Anshikvatam Ratash Biuda. Ayochlin otam b'vishisham zefek amar lahem af eimati din litena tadin davar acher lemino is lavis nunit levanat if Rebbe Eliezer amrulo v'lo anshe Galilo yonochlin otov b'vishukur kavano niklaf amar lahem af eimati din litena tadin ela orev. What I meant was, as long as you're a baki ba orev, meaning of course orev v'chol min orev. Omra Meimar, Lamaisa Ilchata of Abba Besiman Echad is Tahor, and Rashi learns the next words, as long as we don't know that it's Doris. We can assume it is. From the Ravashi, Lamaimra, what do you do with Reb Nachman? What do you do with Reb Nachman about needing to be a Baki so that you're not going to be able to be Toen a Peres Vosnia? Other Reb Nachman, my own Lelah, Loshmili, Klama, I don't hear that. Los virali, ma'hika mishum perazos nia. Let no be yishuv. Omer of Yehuda, of hamisareit, kasher l'tarat mitzarabias. That's the tipor drawer. That's the snunit levana, and we paskin obviously not like Rebbe Eliezer. We paskin like the chachomi. Shenechlu bar Rebbe Eliezer v'chachomi, and it's kosher. Omer meimar. Well, now wait a minute. If you're talking about the real snunit levana, I mean where it's chiva karsa. The machloket over here was in the Aruka Karsa, where Rebbe Eliezer said it was Asar Rabbanan said it's Mutter, and actually in that we pass like Rebbe Eliezer. So that what you said in name of Yehuda that this is the Snunit Levanasha Nechlaku, no, it's not, and that we pass like the Rabbanan, we pass like Rebbe Eliezer. Mazutra Matniach, but the Aruka Karsa Kuleyamal Pliki the Asar Kipliki but the Chivra Karsa. I agree with what you just said, Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Lezer, also Rabban and Shai, we pass on a Rabbana, that it's Mutter, and that's the kosher for the Mitzvah. So, Bishlam, the man, Yom, Bechivra, Karsa, Plige, Haina, Diktan, Yizu, Yizunit, Livana. I mean, I guess something that's white is called white, but according to the man, that it's yellow, why is it called white? Maizu, Yizunit, Livana. It means whitish. And Zafuki, Debati, which is all black, Ruchbati. Omer Rechov, Omer Rav Yehuda, the tassil is a kosher bird for the Mizbeach. It's posel as a tor, so if it's an adult, you can't use it. It's kosher as a benyona. You can use it if it's still in a youngster. The atzipe Torin Shavrachova, those are also kosher, but those are kosher as adults. Mishum Torin, they're possible Mishum Benayona. Moser Reb Daniel Barav Katina, how can you say that the Tassil is a type of Yonah? If it says Kolofot Poslin Mechatat, Chutz Benayona, Bimdeshe Motzetzet, Vim Itna, Lite Chutz Benayona Vatassil. On Rebbe Zera, well, because who said that the Tassil is Motzetz the same way the Yonah is? Zemotzetsumeki, and therefore it ruins the Mechatat, either, remember the Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, either because it was Nasib or Malacha, or because it's mixing it with saliva. Vezemotzetsvenomeki. Omri Virani Kufshani, the Tzutzaini type of Yona, is Ksherim Lagami Mizbeach, and those are the Torin Shel Rechava that we mentioned on Amud Aleph. How can you say this? Asked the Gemara. That's a subspecies. And Metve Zov Elois of Yavan, Elois of Kuchli, Elois of Romi, Elois of Midbori, Elois of Sheshoshem Lavai. Om Rabbi, it depends. Kosh Nishtanesh Mok Onimatan Taravik Piyatar Olam. So then if Yeshoshem Lavai Pasul. But these are things that were Lonish Tanesh Mok Onimatan Taravik. Rav Omar, no, it's very simple. The Kufshani Tzutzaini are just called Torin in Tsuchenia. So Batrayu is stomach arlohu. So it's not really a different species. Omer of Yudahane, Karzi de Vechilpe, according to Rashi, Chagavim, according to Tosfot, the miniature birds, that's Mutter. De Vechilpe in the cabbage patch, that's Usser. Omer Ravino, Makinalai Mishum Sheretza of. V'yomar Rav Yehuda, tzarda shari, barda aser, v'sivanecha barmine, marda sveika. Omer Vasi, the marda is really one of the eight sveikot. And the eight sveikot are the chuba, the chuga, the suga, the arnuga, the tushlomi, the marda, the kuchilna, barnafka. What's the suffix? Well, ofotarin kurkavanan niklav, the tmeim in kurkavanan niklav. Nahani kurkavanan niklav pesakina. So, he barabs it avi be mashpudal avi kamak of kurkavani, vutavana beshimsha, vikiv the rafi iklav. Yes, but hatabki rafi iklav piyata. And I'm talking about over here is something which afagav the rafi lo miklav ela pesakina. Om rabbi, the tarnagola da agma was one of the eight svekot. That's the marda. The other name is the tarnagola da agma. Omer of Papa, that's only the Tarnagola. The Tarnagola Dagma is Asira, but the moor hen is Mutter. So the Tarnagola Dagma is Sharia. V'simanecha amoni v'lo amonit. Dorish Marimar. Actually, the Tarnagola Dagma is Osir, because they once saw that it was Doris. Chazir the Doris of Achla. V'ainu Giruta. You know, you never know. They come, they pretend to be Jewish, but who knows what happens afterwards. Omarav, Shvor Andarpata Shori, Piruz Andarpata Asar, Vesimonecha Piruz Rishia, Omaravuna Bunya Shori, Parava Asar, Simonechas Parava Amgusha, Omarav Papa, the Mardu Zagid Vyakula Shori, the Mardu Sagid Vyakula Zasar, Vesimonecha Lotish Tachavel Elacher, Omarashmo, the Shatya Hamriz Asira, Simanecha Shetuye Yain Suvim La Avoda. V'yomashvah, the Mazga Chamra is Osir, but the Bat Mazga Chamra, of course, a completely different species, is Sharia. V'simanecha Yofe Koach HaBein Mikoach HaAv.
That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy.
Today we're holding today on Daf Samach Beis, Sefer Shulchan. Yesterday we went through the 24 Ofes, and it turned out that there's actually four different levels. So we have the Nesher. Nesher doesn't have any simonim. We have the Peres. Actually, let's start at the beginning.
first thing we have is a contrast of the bird given to be tahor, which is the tor, and the bird that is most extremely different than the tor, which is the nesher. The nesher doesn't share any of the four simonim that the torim have. And those four simonim are eino adores v'ohel. It has a zefek, it has kukavon mikvah, and it has etzva yetera on the feet. So that's the maximal difference. Then we have the perzvos niyah. The two of them each have one simon, though not the same one simon. Then we have 19 other birds. And those birds have, I'm sorry, then we have the orev. The orev has two simonim. Those are not the two simonim that have, that the Paras of Ozniyah necessarily have. It's one of those that's unique to the Paras of the Ozniyah. Then we have 19 other birds that have three simonim. And all the other birds, the kosher birds, have four simonim. There's plenty of kosher birds only have one simon and so on. But as long as they're not the birds that are mentioned, then they would be kosher. So based on that, today the Gemara says, Omar of Nachman, Hayabaki Behev of Ishmotehen. If somebody knows what these birds look like, the Paras Vazniyah knows what it looks like. Opa, Baba Simonacha. A bird that has one simon is tahor, because then he knows that it's not a Paras Vazniyah. So there's no problem. However, if he doesn't know what a person was now looks like, and he doesn't know what the bird in front of him is called, so that he's not protected from that. I mean, even if he would know what it looks like, and this bird is called a Paras Vazniyah, he'd have to be choshesh. Maybe it's a type of Paras that he's not familiar with. But if he doesn't know what they look like, and he doesn't know what this bird is called, then you can't assume that you can eat a bird that's called a fanacha b'simenacha, because it may be a Paras Vazniyah. So then it would be tamei. Shnei simanim tahor. But if it has two simanim, it would be tahor. However, that's only that you know what an orev looks like. Because if you don't know an orev, then this may be an orev. Because an orev has two simanim. Ask the Gemara, what good is it to know what an orev looks like? It's not going to help you. Orev too low, but Tanya, orev, ze orev. Lemino includes additional things. What is lemino? Rabbi Eliezer, melavieta zarzir. The zarzir, which is a small bird that is found together with orvim, is also a type of orev. Omro lo, the Rabbi Eliezer, so people, Tanya to Rabbi Eliezer, how can you say the zarzir is a type of orev and it's not kosher? Aloachi kvartim rata shabiyuda. Ayoachlimotan. People in Kfar Timrata used to eat that bird, the zarzir, mifnei sheishlem zefek. And they felt that that's a siman tahara. And it has two simanim. But that's not the normal siman of the orev. That's one way of learning, so Rashi learns. Taisva suggests the problem here may be that it has a zefek that is very small, which looks more like a diverticulum in the esophagus, rather than a true zephic, and the question is whether this is a zephic. Then maybe the zephic is really one of the simonim of the orev. But in any event, they have seen it on that basis. Omar Lahem, to which Rabbi Eliezer responded, well, it's all very nice that they eat it. They can worry about that in hell. I mean, what does that prove, that they eat it? I mean, so they're going to pay for it. Let me know. It's actually let me know. Include all things that would be under that category of orev. So that would include a snunit levana. It's mashma, it's a type of swallow. Like the, nowadays they use snunit in modern Hebrew to refer to a seabird, what do they call those? Seagulls, right? Don't they call that a snunit? No? Oh, it is a swallow, too. Okay. Anyway, so this would be the white snoonies. And that's a type of orange. What do you mean they eat up there up in the Galilee Elyon? There's a special hotel in Metula called the Snunit Levona. Because it has a peelable gizzard, and that's Simon of Tyre. And again, according to Rashi, the issue would be this is not the Simon that's normally found in the Orev, or according to Tosfos, the problem is that the Kurkavan here is not easily separated by hand, so that you need to use a tool to separate it. Maybe that's not called Kurkavan, we'll see later on, the Gemara will discuss that. And he said to them, so they eat it. They're going to pay for that. So therefore, what good is it for you to know what an orev is? You have to also know what the various meaning of an orev is. Is ours there? Is it savona? I mean, how can you say, as long as you know what an orev is, if it has two simonim, it's kosher? Well, what it means is that you know what an orev and all the various types of subspecies that are included in orev, according to Gemara. So v'chol minor, b'nei lo chinam, if you're not sure, then you won't be able to eat it. Omra meimar, hilchata of haba b'siman echad tahor, v'hu delo doris. If an elf has a siman echad, it's tahor, but only if you do not see that it's doris. Because, I mean, if it's doris, it's already a siman, that it's one of the tomei birds. Omra revashila meimar, so hada Reb Nachman, amai. What about Reb Nachman? Reb Nachman said, if only has one simon, you have to be certain it's not a peres vozniyam. And you're saying you don't have to worry about a peres vozniyam. Why don't you have to be a bucky in peres vozniyam? Nah. Omer lo shmirli. I didn't hear about that. Omer lo shmirli. I don't agree with that. So it's like that doesn't come into my ears. My yika. Because I mean, what's this for? Because my yika. What are you worried about that you have to be a bucky? In the names of the office, which are Peres Vosniyah. What are you going to do? Choshesh that they're serving you Peres Vosniyah. Well, it's like being afraid that you're being served flamingo when you go into a restaurant, or that you're being served a dolphin with your tuna fish, you know. So that's not the kind of thing that is Matsu B'Yishuv, less than B'Yishuv. Yes, I agree if you're on safari in Africa and you find something, maybe a Peres Vosniyah. But when you're sitting in Vienna, it's not a Peres Vosniyah.
What about the fact
that
that's a rove? What about, why can't you
knock after the rove? How can you go after a rove? When you say rove of this, but these birds are not Peres Vosniyah, what do you say, rove? Okay, so do the same thing. You eat any animal that you'll find also, and say rove animals are kosher. And the Torah is mechayev you lahavdil. It's a specific chayev, if he had to be mahavdil. Omer ameimar, yochotof habav esibinachat tohor, v'hu delo doris. Oh, sorry. Omer reviewed it. Ofa misaret, kosher v'tarat mitzora, v'zo yisunit levana shenecht v'ubar rebel yezra chachomi. An oath that will scratch at you when you try to catch it. So it's not really a oaf that is domesticated anyway, even when it comes and lives in homes and so on. So that's called a tzipor dror. And tzipor dror is what you need to bring for the Teres HaMetzera. And that it needs to be a tohar bird. And this is a tohar bird. This Nunis Levana is a tohar bird. Omra Meimar, well, I mean, that's the Machlokas of Bechibra Karsa. If it's a white-bellied swallow, so then the Sunis Levana, Kuli Amalok Pligitishari, then that's what we're referring to when we say it's kosher for Betzaira. Ki Pligi, the Machlokas, however, was Bediruka Karsa, where it was the green-bellied swallow. So over there, Rebbe Eliezer Asar, and the Rabbonin are Matir. In the room itself, it flew in. Wow. Look, we didn't mean any harm. That's fascinating, Mom. The first time such a thing happened, she comes into it as we're discussing this. It's very strange. It's also a Bisari, so be careful. That is absolutely amazing. Just they're discussing the metamorphosis.
The famous bird, the
bird. That's amazing. How they control it.
You can't pass in this as a bird's
case. And we pass like Rabbi Eliezer that the green bellied is also Rabbanan. Rabbanan dover mater. Marzutra says it like this: Bidiruka karsikula yamlo pligadiasi. On the contrary, if it's a green bellied snunis, so then everybody's motor that's also pligi. But if kibra kars was white bellied, so then Rabbi Eliezer asav rabbanon shari, and we pass like the rabbanon that are matir, and that's what we were talking about: the snunis levana that is considered to be kosher for the tyrus and mitzera. Now, according to the Mount Yomar holds that they were arguing about the Chivra Karsa, the white bellied. So, okay, that explains why it says, Haina Diktani, Snunis Levana. The Zuhi is not part of what it has to say here. As Rashi points out, we're not referring back to the words Vizuhi. We're referring back to the Brisa we had before. Lemineu is to be Marbis Snunis Levana. But according to the Mount Yomar, it's that the Machlokas is in the Yeruk and the green belly. So why? What does it mean when it lists over there the Snunis Levana? That's Levana, not a... No. Levana doesn't mean it has to be white and not green. Levana means it has to be light, as opposed to the black-bellied Snunis, which lives in the in houses, are very common. That's a black, that's what it means. The levana, meaning the light-colored snunis. That's the one that's kosher, not the dark-colored snunis. In the light-colored, it could be white, it could be greenish, but that's not what we're necessarily referring to. Omer Chava, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Tassil, Pasul Mishum Torin, Bekosh Mishum Bnei Yonah. And we know from the description that we saw earlier in the Gemara to determine the maturation of these birds for the Mizbeah, whether they're possible if they get too old as a Ben Yonah, they're kosher if they're old enough as a tur. It's clear that the coloration of the feathers that they're referring to are certainly not what we call pigeons. I mean, they were talking about golden feathers and so on, bright yellow, and so most of our pigeons are not like that. What of these other types of doves and pigeons? So there's different as the tassel, for instance, the tassel pigeon. Well, that says Rabbi Yehuda, that's possible as a tur, but it is a type of yonah. Therefore, if it's the immature, then it's kosher, because a ben yonah is kosher only if it's a ben, only if it's immature. If it's mature, then it's possible because it is not a type of Torah. It's a type of Benyona. The Atzipi, the Torah and Atzipi are also called. It's simply the name of a species. Torah and Shel Rechava, again, that's the name of a species. It doesn't mean of a particular person, a particular place. They're kosher only when they're mature because they're types of Torah. But they're kosher when they're immature because they're not types of Benyona. Masiv Rav Daniel Barav Katin, Kol Ha'ofot, Poslim Mechatat, Chutz Min Ayonan Mifnei Shemotzetzet. Normally, birds, when they drink, they put their beak into the water, lift up their heads, and then the water flows down into their stomach. And when they bend down again, water drips out of their beak. They take out another little bit and so on. So, the water that was in the beak is considered to be possible. This, we had this machlokas earlier, particularly why it's possible for Rashi. It's viewed as Mayim Shinasu Behem Melacha, therefore the possible for Mechatas. Tosfos is very disturbed by that. What kind of Melacha is drinking? Why would drinking be a Melacha? By the way, it would be comes up La Halacha today certainly a generation ago on the farms where you had water that some farmer would want to use sometimes for Tilas Yadayim. And chickens would drink from the water. Finatil Zedayim, Melacha also passes. The question is, according to Rashi, would that mean that you can't use water that was open in a chicken farm? You can't use it for the tilz adayim. So the mechalik, Rashi also, maybe the post from mechalik, Rashi also only means malacha legabi mechatas, because we're mach, very mach, legabi chatas, he wouldn't call it malacha. Tosis learns that, but we had this before a number of times. Tosis learns that the problem is because of the mixture of saliva that will go back in, and that already is in mind. It's kosher and it's not bottle when it comes to the mechatas. Okay. In any event, for our sugya, what's important is that the brachia distinguishes yonah from other birds, because the yonah is motzetzet, and that's one of the unique attributes of the yonah, is that it sips water rather than letting the water flow down after it sticks the beak in and lifts up its head. Now, if you are right, Tainas Rogonir Bar Katina, then why doesn't it mention the subspecies of yonahs that you just talked about, like the tassil? So to say, chutzmei yonah v'tassil. They said the tassil is a type of yonah. So why doesn't it mention the tassil? Omer Rebbe Zeira, because the fact that something is a ben yonah, obviously it's going to have to share the gross characteristics with a yonah. We're not going to call it a type of yonah if it doesn't drink at all in the same way. So it has to be a motzetzet. Why then would it not be included? Because, as Rabbi Zera, zemot seitzu meki, vezemot seitzu no meki. There's a slight difference in the way that they drink. The question is whether they lift up their beak before they finish drinking. If they don't, then any water that's left in the beak leaks back down into the water. Even though it's like sucking a straw. You suck a straw. You know, people think it's very sanitary to, you know, two people stick their straw in. But the fact is that the water goes back from your mouth, back into it's even worse than drinking from the same cup. So if you pull out the straw and you continue sucking while you pull out the straw, then you don't get any water back into the cup. But otherwise, you're simply putting water back, and you know, so the kids will take a big mouthful of water and then blow half of it back into the cup. Right? You know, I urge you not to drink. So the same thing over here. The yonah, indeed, is not makey back, but the tassil is. And that's a slight variation, and indeed makes it a subspecies, but it's enough to make a difference. Halacha legabe the mechatos. Omer Rav Yehuda, ani kufshani tzutzaini, sherem legabe mizbeach. What we call in Aramaic, the kufshani, or we may simply mean pigeons in Aramaic, the tzutzaini pigeons are kosher from the Mizbeach. They're a type of tor, and by the way, that's the term Shorach HaBala you just referred to in our sugya. You said they're types of tor, and indeed they are. Mesve. Ask the Gemara, then this is a significant sugya we discussed yesterday, Lagabe, subspecies, the names of subspecies. When the Torah says to use an azov, so it says just azov. But azov means that if you're going to use an azov for Tyrus Mitzvah, it can't be an azov Yavani, for instance, which is not from Yavan. It's a type of azov. So Greek azov. Velo ozev kuchli. Nor can it be ozev kuchli. Again, kuchli could mean a colored azov. It looks bluish. Others learn kuchli is the name of a place, and it was named al shem that place. Velo ezov romi, velo ezov midbori, and in fact, lo kol ezov shesh al shem levai. Any second name on the ezov means it's a subspecies, just like we use today. We have the first name of the species, and then we go on and we discuss the subspecies, so that the second name is always the shem levai. If there's a shem levai, then that's not the Azov the Torah was talking about. Now, if the Torah says Torim, and you're saying, well, but that includes the Torim, Shebnei Rechava, and the Tzutzaini, and what do you mean? Those are subspecies of Torim. You said yourself, even, that you could distinguish them taxonomically, how they drink, and the slight differences, and so on, but if it's a subspecies, so it should not be kosher. Omer Abaye says the point is, and this is an extremely important halacha, that it depends when the subspecies names developed. Where the subspecies were recognized and marked at the time of Kabbalah Satera. The Kvidat Torah Alam, and the Torah is defining a species and never lets you know that this subspecies is included, so that if it has a name at that time, it's possible it's not included. However, these birds, lo nishtan ushmam kodem matan Torah, these are recently taxonomically described variations. They were not commonly recognized as a different type of bird. And the male, at the time of Kabbalah Satera, that is the way that it was addressed. Rav Amar, Hanikuf Shani Tzutsaini, Batrayu Stamu Korelu. Rava says, now, you don't have to come on to that. The point is that different places use the standard species name for what to you is a subspecies because it's not the way you see it in your place. But in that place, these are pigeons. So you're going to say, okay, but if I put it together, all the pigeons in the world, I'm going to give all of them subspecies names. Precisely. I was thinking, there's no such thing as the regular pigeon, and then there's the this pigeon and the that pigeon. The regular pigeon has got a name, even if it's the regularis. So it would also be called the Hashem Levi. I mean, obviously, that's not the point. The point is that whatever passes for the common pigeon in its place is a pigeon. Other people will be machalic between their pigeons and those pigeons. The Torah is talking all places. So we just take what is a standard bird, and that in its mokum will not be referred to as a particular type of pigeon. Review it up. Hani karzi de beishlupi sharu, and de beikarbi asirim. And Ravina, malkin alayu mishum sheretzahov. There's a very fascinating machlokus here that has implications. Very important implications, lagavi the shemos of things. Rashi learns that what we're talking about over here, these carbis and filthy and so on, are types of locusts. And the question over here is, there's a different meaning. The filthy means they're the pond locusts. The carve is they're dry ground locusts. And the fiddish is that these are vadai tame, and that there's a chiyav of sheretz ha'of on them. Because anything that flies is an oaf.
Anything that flies,
mosquitoes,
things like that, or?
Is osra sheretz ha'of. So now the question is, as Tosis points out, why the heck would we suddenly be talking about locusts in the middle of a sugya of birds? It's strange. I mean, it's not as if it's coming to tell us something about subspecies in general, like we've been talking about Azov, below Azov, Yovan, Richie, below Richie, Ayef, and so on. Why are we talking about Chagavim? Furthermore, I mean, obviously, if they're Chagavim and they're not kosher, then obviously you're going to be Chayav on the Mishum Sharetzov. I mean, you've got to be crazy. But why do you have to tell me that? Therefore, Tosa says that Mamish are fantastic fiddish, in which it redefines for us how we look at the species. Tosfos says the fiddish is that what we're talking about over here are very tiny birds. There are birds that are smaller than a lot of insects. We're talking about very tiny birds. And the fiddish is that tiny birds are not included in Ofos Tameim, they're included in Sheretz Ha'of. It's because they act like shratzim, that they're shorets. They move very quickly and they scatter around. No, there's birds that are 100.
Why wouldn't you say
they're gigantic locusts that are like birds? They still act like shratzim, but the size is not the issue. There are large shratzim also. I don't know. I mean, I've seen pictures. They have these incredible pictures. They're absolutely mind-boggling. I mean, they're tiny. They're like flies. And they're real birds. Hummingbirds. Gigantic compared to these things. So in any event, that's not those things. We still don't know the subject of birds. And the finish is that there are birds that you're chayav in terms of shrutzen rather than in terms of ofus tamei. And that's already a very interesting idea.
Russian language says that the definition of charity is called the Russian number. I think that the definition of charity means the definition of the number. It's something that's small number.
Right. Umbravina. Umbalki. Now, language of charity. Umbravina. Sarda. Shori. Barda. Osir. So these now are similar types of birds. There's the Tsarda, the Barda, and the Marda. And the Tsarda is Mutter, the Barda is Osir, and here is the Gemara that I've always used to drive Barnea crazy. Vesimanecha Barmine, stay away from him. So we have the Tsarda and the Barda. Now the Marda, as far as the Tsarda and Barda are concerned, the Marda is right there in the middle, and it's a suffix. So remember, if you've got a Tsarda, Barda, Marda in your birdcage, you're able to show right there, kosher, suffet, tummy. I think they sell them as kits now. Omer Vasi, Shmona Svekotein. Now, there's actually eight things that we've got Svekos, and I'll explain to you what those Svekos are in a moment, says Vasi. But just so that you should know what we have the suffix on, you should know that it's the Achuba and the Chuga and the Suga and the Arnuga and the Tushlami and the Marda Kuchilna and the Barnafka. Now they all share this same suffix. My Sveikayuk, I mean, can you imagine what an expert you have to be to immerse yourself in the very, it's just incredible. I mean, you have to become a zoologist to be able to, and you're talking about like these little subspecies of birds. Listen to what the suffix is. Okay, tmeim ein kukavanam nikla. So we have our general rule. Oif tahor has a peelable gizzard. Now the thing is that these birds, you know, everybody sees them every day. The chuba, the chuga, the suga, the aruga, the shama, the so on and so forth. So these birds, their kukavan is nikla, but you need a knife in order to be kolif. You can be kolif cleanly, that means you'll pull off the whole lining of the stomach cleanly, but not with your fingers. Although there are times when you can get angry enough to pull it apart with your fingers.
School teaches small
birds. So that's our Sarahani Kurkavana Nikla Visakina. Well, wait a minute. There was that famous case by that Bar Avza type of duck, well, it was by Yehuda Mar Shmuel, and it couldn't be Kolevitz Kurkavan, no other Makav Kurkavan. And he had the idea, he put the Kurkavan out in the sun. The Rafi, when it became softened in the sun, he pulled it apart. So apparently, the fact that you need to use other ways of being kolif to Kurkavan is not a problem. He viewed this as being a proper way of checking for Kurkavan Nikla. True, but also in Kirafi, Iklif Biyado. Over there, once it did get soft, it was soft enough to peel apart by hand. Over here, even after softening, you still needed a knife to separate it. Omar Abaye. Abaye says, you know the famous, what we call the Tarnagula de Agma, which is some type of wild tarnagul. Or what do they call this type of turkey like that?
Wild
turkey. Or maybe it's like a... Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. A rare breed
of
a turkey. That's Chad Mishmona Sveikasu. That's one of the eight Svekas, because that's really what they call the Marda. We call it the Tarnagula Dagma. Om Rav Popa says an interesting thing. The Tarnagula Dagma is Osir, but the Tarnagulta Dagma is Mutter. And the way to remember that is Amoni below Amonit. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean the Miss is kosher and the Mister is straight. There's no species that distinguishes between the sex of the kosher and the non-kosher, but it means there is a species called the Tarnagula, and there's a species called the Tarnagulta. So you have the moor hen, let's say, right? Or the moor cock, and so on. So the different names, the way you use the name.
I would say Amon and Moab.
Huh?
I would choose Amon as opposed to saying Moab.
It's
amazing how many birds they must have had.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Carson effect. Now, here we get on to the problem of turkeys. And this is where the whole Gemara comes from. Why is the Tarnagula the Agma Asir? As you are the Dorsa V'Ochla. They saw that it was Doreset. Now, apparently what happened is that for a long time, they would eat this thing and assume that it was kosher because they thought that it was a type of tarnagol. It looks like a tarnagol. It's a kind of tarnagol. Yeah, a little different. It's on, you know, Turkish chicken. It's all basically the same thing. You can assume it's kosher. They didn't ask anybody. But they said it's kosher. And for years they've been eating this thing. All of a sudden somebody reports they saw that it's Doris Vavich. And I remember, as I pointed out to you yesterday, Rashi learns that even holding down its food while it pecks at it so that the food can be pulled apart is also called Teresa. Knew if that's the case, it doesn't point out. I mean, normally domesticated birds do that too. That's why he's chaylik on Rashi. But in any event, depends how you define Teresa. It could be easy to find that something is Doris. You see, there's the difference between the three simonim given in the Mishnah of Zefek, Kurkava, Niklof, and Etzba Yisera. You either have it or you don't have it. I mean, it comes, you check, and that's it. You know, Doris is not much of a simon. Because in the Ein Lo Reis Yirayim, Ein Lo Doris. Maybe one day it will be Doris.
Can't be
how can you define that it's not Doris? And this is what happened with the turkey.
Well, isn't there an exception? I mean, like, there normally isn't Ein Lo Doris, and for one, you got the Jonathan Livingston Siegel of turkey.
What can I tell you? So, therefore, you never really know when something comes in front of you that it isn't Doris. A year they've been eating it for years, all of a sudden they discover, oh, it is Doris. It's not that you knew what this was. You assumed what it was. Now, we were talking yesterday about the Zabu scandal. I mean, remember, the whole mocker of the Zabu scandal was only because the Chazon Ish held that you should be machmer on mammals without a Maseret the same way that you're machmer with Oifes. The reason that you're machmer with Oifes is because of this. And this is actually where Rashi says it's an important Rashi to read, because it's nearly, this is the Rashi in Chazua, the Doors of Akla, right by next to the Shmos Lamedal, in the middle of that Rashi. Nearly, the oath habolafanenu, any oath that we are given that we're not familiar with, Yeshua Shema Yidros, how do you know that at one point or another you won't discover that it's a Doris? So, Hachtar Nagul to Dagma, Yamaksikinim B'Torah. They assumed it was a kosher bird. You know, it looks like one of those kosher kind of birds, and how could you think it's not kosher? V'liachar Zman Roish Doris, and maybe 100 years later somebody notices that it's Doris. Ve'in of Nechal Lano Ela B'Misoret, Ov Shemasru Lano Avotenu B'Tahor, Shalom Masru Lano Yesh Lakush. And that's it. V'Misoret Yesheron L'Smoch. And there we'll see later on, tomorrow's Gemara, that an Oftar is Nechal B'Misoret. And we'll discuss more about that issue. But in any event, as the Chazon Ish pointed out, the Misoret is only kosher for the people who have the Misoret. Not for people who don't have the Misoret. That was all. Sorry? That we'll talk about tomorrow. So therefore,
the fact of the species, does or doesn't?
Does or doesn't what?
Once it's got a...
Okay, but the whole, again, as the Chazon Ish said, Lagabi the Zabu, it isn't a question of whether something is kosher or not kosher. It's a question of how it is that we've defined these minim so as to make sure that we're not nitchel in them. And he held the same thing is true by mammals, which is why it was machmer Lagabi Zabu. But to say I'm machmer on Zabu, which only became kosher because people just assumed and accepted, that it's basically a variant. I mean, what? So you said, but we don't. Well, there were people that had a Masera. Well, I don't hold to that Masera. But ultimately, it was Makubal. If you're going to be Machmer on the Zabu, then you've got to be crazy not to be Machmer on the turkey. Because the two of them have the same status right now. Not at the time of Chazon Ish. I'm saying right now, you have people eating Zabu as an assumption. The same way we have eating turkey as an assumption. So then someone comes along and says, but it's not a bird that we have a Maseret on. Okay, but we already eat it. Everybody's eating it. Everybody's eating it already, so that's the equivalent of an accepted bird. You can't come back now and say, but we have a minute not to eat it. That's ridiculous. What do you mean we have a minute not to eat it? Everybody eats it. Now you have a minute not to eat it. So therefore, the same thing would be true about this Zabu. At this point already, the Badat has been selling Zabu meat for God knows how long. All of a sudden, somebody's going to come along and wave the Chazanich. So then, well, why not wave the Dinas against the turkey? And then throw out all the turkey meat. I mean, I'm not saying it's not a bad idea, but you have to be consistent about it.
It took 100 years already.
So what? Yeah, they have to keep their own minhagim. Those families don't eat turkey. They don't eat turkey. Families don't eat turkey.
What's wrong with the turkey?
No. What's wrong with the turkey is you don't know what it is. It's a new world bird. How in the world can you eat a bird that nobody ever saw before?
So why
is that
all this similar?
So what? Rashi says we don't have a bird that's a nechal without Mesiris. You never know what you'll discover because it's a passive simon.
So why did they?
Because they said it looks like a chicken. It seems a type of chicken.
Passive simon has at least one thing. What's the problem with the zavu that you're going to use?
That's a passive
simile. What's wrong with
the Zab?
That doesn't have a passive
simile. We spoke about the Zab yesterday. I don't know if you were here.
I was.
It's not connected in any way. It's just the shayla about the minute not to eat without a Mesiris. It's not connected to Simon.
Then I'm asking why the passive simile came into that. Answer.
Because we're not talking about Zabus, we're talking about turkeys.
I understand. And on that question of the turkeys, if we're using the same shot or brush as to why
we're not. You're going to have to say what you want to say and not drink.
If we're saying because we don't have a Masara, we're not bringing it in to the new thing because it's money, why is the passage simon even an issue? It shouldn't be an issue according to.
Can you explain what you mean? Do you know what you mean clearly or you want to think of it?
Yes, I do know what I mean.
Okay, so that's because you say it then.
Okay.
In a way that others can understand.
I will try it again. If we are saying that we don't bring something into our eating because we don't have a complete Masorah for it, what does the fact of a passive simon?
That's how we got to the point of not eating things without Masorah. Because you can't really check on something that's passive. You can only check on something that's active.
How
do I know that it's not Doris? I know it's got a quirk of a Niklaf. I know it's got a Zephyr. And I know it's got an Espeya Sarah. I don't know it's not Doris. I only know that I haven't seen it before.
I understand that, and I understood that before. The question goes more so onto what we said yesterday on the Zabu, which
and
doesn't have any
issue. Really, we only have taken 1 second to say all of this, and this is exactly what I thought you were asking and what I answered in the beginning. The Zabu has nothing to do with Simani. It has to do with the fact that there was a machlokes as to whether Chaya has a problem with Simani and so on, which were dochel halacha. However, we were mekabel on ourselves not to eat, as a minhag that the shach brings, not to eat things without a mesora. It was the Chazon Ish who compared that halacha to oifas. But the reason for them have nothing in common. There's nothing in common between the minhag there and the minhag here. Nonetheless, the Chazon Ish said in the same way that when we talk about a Masorah, we mean X, Y, and Z. Masorah has to be in your place. Masorah has to be for another, so on and so forth. So too, by mammals, according to the Shach, would have to be the same type of Masorah we have for Oifus. That was the only connection. That's what I said up front, thinking that I understood you. But you never think that you understood me.
And I tried very hard, and I will try it again.
Now, does it work?
No.
Okay, later. Okay. Fine. So in any event, if you don't want to eat turkey, I can give you an address to send it to. And
Zabu
should be the same as turkey.
The same
be the same as turkey.
Kind of issue.
It's a type of thing like that. Yeah. I mean, that's at the beginning, but at this point already it's. It's accepted, so it's not shaykh the same. We have a minute not to eat it. That's the thing.
It's too late.
And so we pointed out yesterday, all fundamental changes in halacha that are responsive to situations are always too late. Nobody gets up, and only in the very rarest of circumstances, people get up and change halacha. We gave an example of a Beis Yaakov school. Fine. But that's an extreme rarity. It's not a Zergus. There's no Sanhedrin. So it's only ex post facto that things happen, that they change. So nowadays, it's a gradual process. And nowadays, you'll have a shul that'll have a woman come up for an aliyah. Now, once upon a time, they would have shot you for that. Some people still will shoot you for it. But at least, I mean, today it will be included in as Orthodox. Wouldn't have been included in Orthodox 20 years ago. How does that happen? There's a gradual change that was responsive to social changes, where the halakha is initially based on social issues. Minhagim is a social issue. Kovod HaTzibur is a social issue. So on and so forth. These are things that the Metzias defines halakha rather than halakha defining the Metzias. So these are the type of things you can't ask, so how, so why, so how. It happened that way. Who was Matur? Nobody. How did it come that in every single school they teach Limud HaKol when they once held the chair here, that it's Yara Vayara? That's the way it is. Why? Because there was government pressure, because you couldn't get money unless you were... So that's a reason to be Machalo, the Kedushas HaTorah. It worked out this way. Now, of course, we don't see it as a Chilul of Kedushas HaTorah. And for a woman to go out and work when her husband sits and learns, somebody who's ever mocked such a thing, it's much worse than teaching women a Beis Yaakov. These are things that happen because of social pressures of the next post facto. We're either an Nachlam or you make a virtue out of it or whatever it is. It's like a thing. You have an idea in 100 years what things will be mukubal and then and will be. You would have told somebody 100 years ago, this is a finer younger man. His wife works on Wall Street. It's a fuss about in minor show, Kiddush can only. You're crazy when he sends his wife to be Mazana and you're calling her a finer younger man, Mr. Meshuggah. And literally, that would have been, you wouldn't have given the guy an aliyah. So now you're going to make a virtue out of it. Who ever heard of such a thing?
They want to cancel the family of the Gershon because you can't afford to live on one lifestyle.
See, Sabra Josh is upset that he's already at this age. All right. Okay, so these are those type of things. You can't ask about certain things. That's the point. If you ask, then you destroy the process.
But where does it end? Isn't
there a limitation? It ends according to what it is that the Torah defines as halacha. All of these other things are not defined. Halacha means a continuously developing process that's responsive to the halicha that is required. Obviously, anything that touches an issue that the Torah has defined is a given, and that's where it ends.
And then if a major posek makes a statement, are we obligated to follow that?
Yeah, you're not obligated to follow anybody. There's no such thing as that. Unless it's a mufla, a daira, I mean, something. We don't have muflas. But you follow whoever you ask a shayla to, as long as it's a person. You have a right to... Not a mufla, but a basic for many people. If they use your basic, of course, you should listen.
That's a shock. But it's an apartment issue. It's like apartments for the kids.
I don't know about that. I haven't heard that scandal. The only scandal I heard about is Zabu. I'm not being resolved on it. I'm saying it. I just think it's a little too late. Right. Omar Rav, Shavor under Pata is Shari, Piruz under Pata is Osir. Now these are names of rare birds. And they're similar. They're under Pata birds. Some of them are called after Shavor, and some of them are called after Piruz. Now Shavor was the name of the king. Piruz was the name of a really vicious guy in his time. And the synonym to remember, which one is Treif, is Piruz Rashia. That bum, Piruz. You'd imagine a bird named after him would be Treif. Amar Avuna. Unya is Shari. Paru is Osir. And you can remember that too, because you know Parua, the famous magician, magic is Osir. So the Parua bird, of course, is Osir. Amar Papa. Mardu. Now, there's two types of Mardus. There's the Mardu that's Zogid V'Ochil. And it stands when it eats. I mean, that's what the words mean, but these were the names of the species, undoubtedly because of behavior. So that's Mutter. Sagibar, the type that bends its knees when it eats, is Osir. And the way to remember that is Lord Tishtakabele, Alakha. Obviously, it's bowing when it's eating. It must be worshiping Yashka or something. And therefore, it's Osir. What would you expect? Great, huh?
Could we take out from that that you can't shackle anymore?
Omar Shmuel, shot your camera Asira. The bird called the wine drinker is awesome. And the simon is Shtuya Yain, Ypsilim La Havaya. The Kohen gets drunk, he can't do Havaya either.
Do we say, with this Rashi that we just said, that doesn't mean
that. We'll talk about it tomorrow. That's it. Yomashmuel, Mazga Kamra Asira. The species called the Mazga Kamra, the one that waters down its wine, is Osir. The Bat Mazga Kamra, which is a different species. The Bat Mazga Kamra is Mutter. The simon is Yofa Kecha Ben, Kecha Ham. We have that same thing that we had before. The child is better than the parent. So, okay, the parent is Osir, the child is Mutter. Okay, we have more species coming up tomorrow, but it's very cute. I wish we had a botanist today. Zoologist. There's no Nissan involved. You left a Nissan involved? Oh my.